Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. On this Thursday, May the 4th, the National Day of Prayer, I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim.
Chris Woodward.
Hello.
We're in Tupelo, MS, and in KCKS is our good friend, Dr. Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Doing well. What does the National Day of Prayer mean?
Well, it's a day mandated for, I don't know, it's been, what, 70 years that we've been doing this? By an act of Congress, set aside a day to beseech God, to pray to the Lord on behalf of our nation. And let me say, guys, if there's ever been a day when America needs prayer, it is today. And I note, Tim, that the theme this year is great. It's from James 5:16, the powerful, fervent prayers of the righteous avail much with God. So America needs prayer, and we've got a day to do it. So I think, Tim, it's a fantastic theme and a great moment for Christians everywhere to pray for this nation.
This evening here on American Family Radio at 7 o'clock Central Time, we will be airing the
National Day of Prayer Gathering.
Yeah.
At 7 o'clock, as you say, on Central Time tonight. You'll hear voices that I know very familiar to our listeners, like Tony Evans and also Jack Graham. And other highlights. So it'll be an incredible program tonight, 7 o'clock Central, right here on American Family Radio.
And Christians are gathering by the millions across mm-hmm. the country at various venues.
Yes.
Churches, city halls, offices, mm-hmm. lunch breaks.
Yeah.
To pray for our country.
We still have the freedom to pray.
Amen.
Hey. And don't take it for granted.
Mm. Yeah.
It's worth fighting for.
So, today is the annual National Day of Prayer, and we hope you will find some way to participate, even if it's just taking a few minutes to get on your knees mm-hmm. for our country.
Amen.
All right, Christopher.
Yes.
Bring unto us the news.
Well, when you go to pray today, be sure to pray for the city of Atlanta as well as police officers, and I say police officers specifically because yesterday police in Atlanta did arrest a man accused of opening fire inside the waiting room of an Atlanta medical practice, killing at least one woman and wounding four other people. Workers and others in the commercial district took shelter for several hours during the manhunt. Police have identified the gunman as 24-year-old Deion Patterson. He was captured in the Cobb County area just northwest of Atlanta. And in a story that you can read on our website, afn.net, investigators are still trying to determine why Deion Patterson opened fire inside this medical practice, as police say. So we will have more information on our newscast later today. In the meantime, I do have a montage of different 911 calls. Notice here at the beginning, the 911 operator tells police officers that the suspect's mother has called, saying that it's her son. Clip one.
Caller is still on the phone with 911 advising it's going to be her son. Black male, about 6 feet tall, wearing a black hoodie. He's going to be the perp between ages of 20 and 25, named Deion Patterson. They're advising female shot. She's seriously bleeding, shot in the side and the back.
For people that didn't pay much attention to the news yesterday, this was the dominant news story. Fox, wall-to-wall coverage with it, all kinds of aerial footage.
Yeah, the background on this is that the young man, Patterson, had gone to that building for a medical appointment. He is just out of the Coast Guard just a few months. Mm. His mom actually has the 911 call indicated. She actually called 911 to say it was her son. She had gone to the medical office with her son for this appointment. She says he has some mental problems, that he was after a particular drug that might help him, but that the VA, Veterans Affairs, had denied him that drug. But he took a gun, obviously, to that medical appointment. We'll learn more as time goes on. But again, I think the police need to be praised. They were at the scene in no time at all. and also the technology that we have today. What happened was young Patterson fled the building after the shooting. He got into a truck that was idling at a gas station, stole that truck, and then they were able to track that to, I think, a shopping center where he had put it aside. And then he ran into a complex of apartment buildings. Somebody in the apartment building called the police, and they were able to identify where he was fairly quickly. So a lot of technology, but great work by the Atlanta Police Department to bring this man into security. And but we still, our hearts go out for the victims today. Just young victims. I think all the victims, including the one deceased, were women. Mm-hmm. Some of them young, some of them older. But pray for those families.
One dead.
Yes.
And how many injured?
Four. Four others injured.
Yes. But it could have been a lot worse, I guess. You're right. We're very sad for the one family, the one person who who died. But all right. But he had mental issues. And he sounded like to me from that story, he was upset about them denying him the
VA denying him a particular
medication.
Drug. Yes.
Yeah. Now, was his mom with him?
Yeah. She had accompanied him to the doctor's appointment.
Yesterday.
He
was there.
Then
when he started shooting.
And she was one of the people who called 911 after this.
All right, Chris.
Well, this could very well have been the lead story, and I'm going to set it up by just sharing the information for people that maybe got lost in the news cycle yesterday. A whistleblower is alleging that a document exists showing President Biden was involved in a criminal scheme during his time as vice president. The House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer and Senator Chuck Grassley have issued a subpoena to the FBI and the Justice Department requesting more information about the document they say reportedly describes President Biden and a foreign national being involved in an exchange of money for policy decisions. And I've got some audio here from Senator Grassley on Fox talking about the subpoena. Clip two.
The Justice Department and the FBI needs to come clean to the American people what they did with the document, because we know the document exists from very credible whistleblower information that we got. If the Justice Department and the FBI have any hopes of redeeming their once trusted position with the American people, Garland and Ray must answer this subpoena and tell us what they're doing with this information that we think is very credible based upon what whistleblowers are telling us.
Right.
Now, what is it exactly, guys, that's supposed to be in this document? I know there's a little speculation because it's the whistleblower who said that the document exists and the FBI has it. So just in simple language, Fred, what supposedly is in this document?
The allegation is that this document pretty well indicts Joe Biden when he was vice president, that he approached a foreign entity, a foreign country, and he said he wanted money in exchange for policy considerations. Now, that still sounds kind of vague, but I think it's pay to play. That seems to be the allegation here. And what Senator Grassley is saying is that this whistleblower has approached him. This whistleblower says the FBI, the Justice Department, have the document that proves this, and they need to come forward with this. There's questions, okay, if you have the document, why haven't you come forward with it before this? Why is it taking this whistleblower to do this? And what Grassley was saying in that clip we just played, you know, the FBI, the Biden Justice Department, already has the suspicions of the American people as to why they've moved on certain Republicans, but they're hesitant on the Democrat side. And they connect it also to the whole Hunter Biden situation, because Hunter Biden has been under investigation now for 4 or 5 years, and there's still no indictment in that case. So what Grassley's going to do, he has subpoenaed this document that the whistleblower says exists, and one way or the other, Grassley is determined to make this public.
Well, you know, we've been, we know from White House visitation records during the Obama and Biden years that right. now Hunter Biden's business associates made many, many visits to the White House. They logged in.
Right.
This doesn't include maybe phone conversations or other meetings that may have occurred outside of the White House. And the former business associates of Hunter Biden.
Yes.
Telling them that remember the big guy email? Mm-hmm. Money for the big guy meaning Joe Biden while he was vice president. The mainstream media has not wanted to pay attention to this story because it makes their guy look bad. Right, their right. guy is the big guy. Mm-hmm. And so very few media outlets have been dealing with this, Fox News and others, maybe conservative-leaning. But now this will be unavoidable because the Grassley, Senator Grassley, and who?
James Comer
yeah.
from the House Oversight Committee.
Republicans mm-hmm. have subpoenaed?
Yes.
A document from the FBI?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And what Grassley's saying there, he's calling out the FBI. Basically, he's saying you got to prove your innocence on this because it looks bad if you've got documentation that shows. I'm talking about documentation like a financial transfer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. That's what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
A smoking gun.
Right.
Yes.
And what Grassley's saying is potentially that the FBI is complicit in hiding this information. Is that what you guys gathered
yes.
from this?
These yeah. are things yeah. that we would go to federal prison for, whereas the president gets a bowl of ice cream.
Yeah. Now, Grassley at this point has not named the foreign entity for which allegedly Biden, when he was vice president, received a pile of money. But if I was a guessing man, I would say Ukraine.
Well, or China.
Or China.
Yeah.
But I say Ukraine because remember the audio that came forward, Joe Biden as vice president?
Right.
He bragged right. publicly about getting rid of a Ukrainian official.
Who was an investigator.
Who was an investigator. And Hunter Biden, Burisma, it's a web.
Yes, the video showed that then Vice President Joe Biden, while visiting the Ukraine, bragged to some of the people over there, I got this fella fired. Mm-hmm. I forgot his title. And this guy was in charge of investigating Burisma, which paid Hunter Biden
right.
millions and millions of dollars, even though Hunter Biden had absolutely zero experience. And is it oil and gas?
Energy, yes.
And energy. I mean, this is just so blatant.
Oh, yeah.
You would think a special counsel
yes.
would have already been, maybe not a special counsel or the Justice Department itself would have been investigating this. Okay, so, Ray, this has all the appearance of a cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know everything yet.
Right. This is a case where it certainly seems as if the FBI has decided for political reasons
right.
to bury this document. And I think it's worth considering different congressmen, representatives, senators have different levels of credibility. There are a few people in the Senate who have more basic credibility than Senator Grassley of Iowa. There's a man, he's a solid citizen, Senator Grassley is. And I just want to say, the very fact that he is leading the charge here leads me to believe, gives me confidence, there really is something behind this. What are the chances that this document just, if it exists, what are the chances that this document ever sees the light of day? It seems to me pretty slim that the FBI would lose it. It would be under the filing cabinet, you know, stored up in the closet somewhere. We may never see it.
But.
What if this person made a copy of it?
The whistleblower. If yeah. I was a betting man, yeah. made a copy of it.
Right. Mm. That's what he's, the whistle. Anyway, now a whistleblower, will he or she appear before I guess at some point they'll have to become public.
They can. I would think initially if there is testimony from the whistleblower, there may be a shadowing of the individual, a changing of the voice. They do that kind of thing to protect them.
Well, we'll see. This is not good for the Biden family.
No.
They've had a – and then what's going on in Arkansas, too, with the child, the grandchild of Joe Biden, Joe and Jill Biden, and the child of Hunter Biden with the woman in Arkansas. Then yesterday I saw where the Biden White House was being criticized some because they wouldn't acknowledge that this grandchild existed, right?
That's right.
Correct. And Karine Jean-Pierre didn't even want to answer the question when asked about it in the White House press briefing, which is her job. You don't get to pick and choose the, you know, questions people
ask. She says, I'm not going to talk about that here. Yeah.
To which they were like, why not? This is what we're here for.
Yeah. Well, she probably better that she doesn't, because she, when she opens her mouth about things, most times she's just telling whoppers. She's like Burger King.
Yes.
I tell you, the one thing that she has done, the one thing to her credit that Karine Jean-Pierre has done is she made Republicans wish Jen Psaki was back in that role.
Didn't think that was possible.
Right.
I mean, it's a...
Well, she might circle back. You never
know. Yeah, hey.
Right, circle back.
I see what you did there.
All right, next story, Chris.
Something else that's not good for the Biden family is what's going on at the southern border. I mean, Fox is all over this. Newsmax has had it. OAN got a lot of aerial footage of all these migrants waiting to get into the U.S. in the Brownsville, Texas area. And it's gotten to the point where now there are discussions about the Biden administration sending troops to the border to help deal with this mass of humanity that has shown up there.
Joe Biden's, they did announce, right?
Yes, yes.
That they're sending 1,500 National Guard troops to the border.
Correct.
Because, just to remind people, the, what's it called? The 42?
Title 42.
Title 42. And we're going to read the whole thing, ladies and gentlemen. So if we're going to be here for an hour.
I'll do it in my news voice.
We're going to read Title 42 to you, just so you know you can go to sleep. Title 42 was a Trump administration policy that that made it harder for illegal immigrants to get into America because of COVID restrictions, right? Is that right?
It kept asylum seekers on the Mexican side of the border.
Okay, so now Biden is going to let that expire, which means millions and millions more people in the next year will be flooding into our country from all over the world. We now know they're coming from China. It's a cottage industry now. People are paying to get to Mexico from all over the world so they can walk into our country illegally. But now Biden is saying, I'm going to send 1,500 troops down there. It's just a show.
To do paperwork.
Yeah, they're not gonna really prohibit anybody from coming in. It's just it's a political stunt, seems to me. Or you would send 10,000.
Yes.
Okay, 10,000 and say stop people at the border. Right. That's what you would say. So related to this, Chris.
Yes. It's interesting that we're talking about Biden sending 1,500 troops to the border there to deal with this situation, because a few years ago, when the Trump administration wanted to do this, they were criticized by people, including now Vice President Kamala Harris. Clip four.
I also believe that the administration made a decision to deploy them based on a political agenda. And I believe that it is inappropriate to require the limited resources of the United States military to be used in such a way.
She said it was inappropriate for them to be used in such a way.
So when Trump did it, it was inappropriate, but when her boss does it, crickets.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
probably
our military resources were limited when she made that statement,
right,
it's even worse now.
Mm. Right. A cricket's word salad would have probably been better that was avoided. That's been avoided. She'll probably be asked about it. Maybe.
It was taken out of context. It was a different time.
Oh, yeah.
It was some political thing.
Well, now, interesting, the former Democrat senator from Arizona, who's now an independent.
Yes.
Her name?
Kyrsten Sinema.
Kyrsten Sinema. Not a movie house.
No.
a senator. She's now publicly talking about Karine Jean-Pierre.
Yes.
Ball face lie.
Yes.
2 days ago, saying that the border
illegal immigration is down 90%.
Border secure.
Right, said it with a straight face. And now she's being called out by a former Democrat senator.
Yes, right? And I think this is important because Sinema is from Arizona. It's not a senator in Vermont saying the border's, you know, we got problems. It's somebody that actually sees this when she goes home. So what you're going to hear now, audience, is Senator Kyrsten Sinema, the independent from Arizona.
Responding to the White House.
Mm-hmm. She told Brett Baer that the border is not secure, and she's offended by the White House comments that it is. Clip 6.
Obviously, the border is not secure. Anyone with eyes can see that. And anyone who lives in a border state like I do, born and raised in Arizona, actually takes offense at comments like that because they're just factually not true. The reality is that border communities in my state are suffering already, and that's before the end of Title 42.
Ray, your thoughts on this?
Well, look, she is exactly right. The situation on the border is catastrophic and has been. We've said over and over on this program that this has happened. Let's face it, whatever else you say about President Trump, he really got the situation on the southern border under control. And when he handed it off to the Biden administration, they took it, threw away everything President Trump has done, and essentially created an open borders situation with all the people coming. We've talked about this many times. And then they are surprised and dismayed at the mess we have down there now. I don't think 1,500 is anywhere close to what it would take to secure the border.
No, it's just a token.
Yep.
But interesting, it is a token, but it's also an admittance, although Karine Jean-Pierre won't admit to this, that there is a crisis on the border. And they've denied that all along, too, right? There's not a crisis. She'll probably say, is there a crisis on the border? She would say, we have a challenging situation on the border.
The Homeland Security Secretary, Mayorkas, is on his way down to the border today. And you can bet he's going to repeat what he repeated at hearings. The border is secure.
This will get this will make national mainstream news. It is making it, and international news, because it is a big deal. It's unavoidable. You can't avoid what's about. It's about to be. It's becoming catastrophic, is to use Ray's words. In the next few days and weeks, it's just going to. The mayor of El Paso says he's at a loss. They're overwhelmed. The mayor of Chicago and New York City, liberal Democrats, are saying, please stop letting these illegal immigrants come to our cities. We can't handle anymore, which is what Governor Abbott and the other border governors have been saying all along.
Mm-hmm.
And Biden ignores Mayor Adams and Mayor Lightfoot too.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't give a rip. We're going to take a break right here. You are listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Jan Markell will be coming up momentarily, and we got a lot of other stuff to cover. Today is the National Day of Prayer. We hope you will remember that in some way today to pray for our country in a special way. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days, we've been banned twice. And is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
unbanned.
Just search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes. Stand by for news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes.
Hey, you guys, listen up. Here's a story that'll definitely make you go crazy bonkers mad. Google has just banned those words from its company style guide. Google UK, the folks across the big pond, banning words like you guys, man hours, whitelist, black hole, and even blacklist. Google also urged staffers to refrain from calling colleagues chubby, crazy, bonkers, or mad. Dummy variable has also been put on the no-no list. And instead of putting in man hours, workers have been told to put in person hours. Google says it's about referring to people with non-gendered language. But Nigel Mills, a conservative member of parliament, says it's just a bunch of woke nonsense and wonders why we should be ditching phrases or words just because some snowflake might get triggered. It's enough to drive you bonkers mad. Even you folks on the dummy variable. I'm Todd Starnes.
In him we were also chosen as God's own, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything by the counsel of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, would be for the praise of his glory. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. This year represents the 75th anniversary of the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
The modern day.
Rebirth, yeah.
Rebirth of the country of Israel. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But first, I want to reintroduce our panel. I'm Tim with Fred and Chris and Ray. Raised in Kansas City, we three are in Tupelo, and we thank you for listening wherever you may be. Now our friend in Minnesota is with us, right, Fred?
That is right. Jan Markell, host of Understanding the Times, heard right here on American Family Radio every Saturday at 1 p.m. Central and Sunday at 12 noon. Jan, welcome once again.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And it's good to have somebody from balmy Minnesota.
It is 66 right now.
Yeah,
that's balmy.
It's going to be 72 today, so this is now we're the air conditioning capital.
It's so hot.
Oh man! Well, we're happy for you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
That you're getting some weather you can get out and enjoy and walk around and so forth. All right, Jan, 75th anniversary of Israel.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Well, a miracle of all time. You know, some call it the miracle of the 20th century, but it's really the miracle of all time that a nation dispersed to the whole world and lost their language and comes back from dozens and dozens of countries, regains that language, And not only that, but becomes, I believe, they're the either the seventh or eighth military power on the planet. I mean, they went out of existence, but the Bible, God said he'd bring them back and he'd make them a great nation, and my goodness, he has.
Yes.
Ray, let me ask Ray about this, then Fred, you comment, I know, because Ray, Ray and Fred, you're both students, Israeli, as Jan is, Israel's history. Well, if you studied the Bible, you're a student of it, but I mean, you guys have spent your life teaching Sunday school and Ray pastoring and has preached on this topic many, many times. Right, Jan used the word miracle. This is, you know, you really can't deny, it seemed to me when you look at the evidence, that this was, in fact, a miracle, that the rebirth of Israel.
Well, really, what are the chances, Tim, humanly right. considered, that a nation that went out of existence in AD 70 when the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem, and the Jewish people were scattered, the great diaspora, were scattered all over the world. And that land, that what we call the Holy Land, fell into this hand and that hand. And over all these centuries, for 2,000 years, the nation of Israel as a nation did not exist. We have what, 1,000 examples from ancient history to today of ancient nations that disappeared. We basically have only one example of a nation that disappeared for 2,000 years and then by the hand of God reappeared. It is a biblically prophesied, God-created miracle. It's exactly what Jan said.
You know, my reading this morning in my daily devotion took me to 2 Samuel 7, which is familiar for people, Davidic covenant, and where God talks about, I've taken this group of people, and I'm going to protect them. I'm going to take care of them, this particular group of people. But here's the thing. That promise, and people will say, well, what happened, as you point out, Ray, in 70 A.D., and they were scattered all over. But God makes a promise for all eternity, and in that promise is a promise for the future of Israel. So they come back into existence 75 years ago. But also, they're still facing problems today. Jan, I wanted to get your comments on, because this has to deal with events still coming. The other day, a high-ranking official of Iran walked up to the border of Israel in Lebanon with his Hezbollah friends to try to intimidate Israel. We now know that China is in negotiations with Iran, with Russia. Put all that together under the umbrella of prophecy, and what do you read in that?
Well, there are some end-time wars that are spoken of in the Bible, and I'm not referring to Armageddon because believers aren't here for Armageddon, and that's kind of an entity unto itself. But we certainly have the sort of the prediction in Isaiah 17 that Damascus, Isaiah 17:1, that Damascus will be obliterated. Well, I think the logical country to do that would be Israel, and perhaps because her enemies, either from Syria, the Hezbollah in Lebanon, somebody, probably those two or a combination of those two, would do something dastardly to Israel, and Israel would have to respond with some kind of complete, well, obviously terrible, terrible response. If, in fact, we take the Bible literally, which we do, and Damascus will be obliterated, never, it will cease from being a city. So that could happen tomorrow, and if these enemies of Israel keep provoking her, that's not a good thing to do. And, of course, we have Gog and Magog. We do not know the timing of Ezekiel 38-39. Scholars are in disagreement. It's before the rapture. It's after the rapture. We don't know. But that's when Russia unites with Turkey and Iran and a few other countries and comes in from the north to try to obliterate Israel, and God turns around and wipes them out. Those are two battles that are coming up. And this what you just referred to, Fred, certainly could be setting the stage for those things.
Well, it's the 75th anniversary of the Nation of Israel. Was that under the UN or the League of Nations,
Jan? UN, 1948.
The League of Nations preceded the...
that is correct. But I think it's important to point out, because we often speak rather critically of the party that leans so far to the left, but this probably wouldn't have happened without Democrat Harry Truman, because had Roosevelt still been in power in 1948, there's no way he would have authorized any kind of a vote in the UN on the part of America to go along with this. Harry Truman was the first one to step in the vote in the UN in 1948 and said, yes, America goes along with this. We will stand with Israel. So I believe Roosevelt being taken out by God, apparently, Truman being put in as a replacement, and was providential. Truman was a great friend of Israel. He really was.
Well, that era's Democrat Party were...
Yes, yes.
They were... They were completely, totally different from today's Democrat Party. They were
exactly.
They were actually patriotic and had some common sense too. All right, well, Jen, thank you. Your show comes on this weekend. What are you going to be tackling this issue or what?
Well, I've got White House correspondent Bill Koenig on with me this weekend, and he's got some tremendous insights into just where the current administration might be leading us. Are we headed back to another 2008 ordeal? Things like that we'll talk about Saturday at noon and Saturday at 1 and Sunday at noon Central.
Jan, thank you so much.
All right, bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. That's Jan Markell joining us from Minnesota. Her ministry is called Olive Tree Ministries, and the show she hosts is called Understanding the Times. You think about it, Ray, with respect to the Jewish people, what other group of people have survived thousands of years, and especially after being dispersed all across the globe, and then to come back?
You know, if you go back to the book of Genesis, Tim, to and Fred, you and I have talked about on the air, Genesis 12, the call of Abraham. When God, and that call to Abraham is reaffirmed in the book of Genesis a number of times, and the surrounding nations are mentioned. You'll go into the land, and you'll be surrounded by the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, all of those pagan Canaanite nations. Now, that's 4,000 years ago. Suppose you ask the question, how many Girgashites have you seen lately? Zero. They've been gone for not just centuries, but they've been gone for thousands of years. How many Hivites have you seen? How many Hittites have you seen? Oh, we can dig up their remains, right, of all those Canaanite nations. But of those great Canaanite civilizations that were around 4,000 years ago, how many of them still exist today? They are, as civilizations, gone and have been gone for thousands of years. What remains? The Jewish people and now the nation of Israel. There is simply, Tim, no way to account for this apart from the sovereign providential hand of God.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Is there a book you guys would recommend or on this topic? Ray or Fred?
Any book on prophecy. Dr. David Jeremiah has written a number of books and others. But when you talk about biblical prophecy, you cannot leave out Israel. Any book on biblical prophecy, you cannot leave out Israel. You just can't.
Now, was the prophecy, all right, I'm going to ask this question anyway, and if you say I don't know or I'm not sure, prophecy having to do with the recreation of the country of Israel, the nation of Israel. That is, was it prophesied in the Old Testament that what would happen to that Israel would be reconvened in 1948, reconvened, reestablished?
Ray, I don't think there's an exact prophecy on that date, but most people who study prophecy point to the fact that the Lord promised that through the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, that someday that would lead to a leader a Jewish person who would rule the world. And that is Jesus Christ, a descendant through this Jewish line. And so there have been disruptions. There was the Babylonian captivity that occurred to the southern kingdom, the Assyrian to the northern kingdom. So the Jews were taken captive. And as Ray pointed out, 70 AD, they were spread throughout the whole world. But that the wonderful part of this is that did not extinguish God's covenant with the Jewish people. He has brought them back together again. It is the only group of people, the only nation in the history of mankind that dispersed and was brought back together again to form a nation in one day.
Yeah, what about the 1948, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay, so 1948, 75 years ago. What about that, Ray? Was that prophesied in the Bible? That
if you mean the exact event, May the 14th, 1948, no. You won't find that specifically prophesied. But what Fred said, 100% true, by the way, very well said. You know, I've been reading through the Bible, so I've spent most of the year so far in the Old Testament. And I got to tell you guys, I've studied this all my life, but something about reading about it, especially the book of Deuteronomy, that really became clear to me reading it. God said, I am going to, when you disobey me, God knew it, what was going to happen. I'm giving you the covenant. I'm making the promise. If you obey me, you'll be greatly blessed. If not, you will be dispersed among the nations. You will suffer greatly. But speaking to the Jewish people, but in the days to come, I will bring you back. I will establish you in the land, and you will be there forever, and you will never be moved away again. That's so clear in the Old Testament. It's so clear in Isaiah. It's so clear in Jeremiah. And in the passage, Fred, that Jan alluded to, Ezekiel 35, 36, 37, and 38. Now, you can look at that and say, well, that's all just symbolic. It doesn't read as anything symbolic to me. It seems to me as a very specific prophecy by Ezekiel, given basically during the time of the Babylonian exile, that in the last days, God was going to wake up the Jewish people. He is going, you know, that's the hip bone connected to the thigh bone. Remember that old song that God is going to bring the nation together. He is going to reestablish them in the land. And in the last days, he's going to breathe life into them. And then after that comes that great battle Jan was alluding to, which I believe has to be yet future to us. Let's just say it this way. If you take Ezekiel's prophecy literally, then yes, the Old Testament predicts that in the last days, God would reestablish the Jewish people in the land. I believe the first stages of that prophecy were fulfilled when the nation of Israel was established in 1948.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, praise the Lord.
It's a great, you know, there's an incident. Moses goes up on the mountain for the Ten Commandments. And he comes down, that story, and Aaron has agreed to form this golden calf because the Jews wanted to worship a golden calf. They wanted their own God. They got tired of waiting for Moses to come back down the mountain. God was really upset. He said, I'm going to wipe them all out.
And I'll start with you.
And I'll start all over again. See, he didn't break his covenant. He just said, these people, paraphrasing here, have really made me upset. I want to wipe them out. Moses says, please don't do that. Now, he dealt with, in a very serious way, those who had really pushed this idea. Aaron's comment, hey, we threw some gold in there, and that just popped out of the
it
fire.
Just jumped out.
Like any disobedient child would do.
That's one of those. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That's right. I would have liked to see the look on Moses' face as he looked at Aaron and said, "You got to be kidding me."
Okay. That's the story you're going with?
Really? Yeah. I'm going to have to vote you down on that one, Aaron. We got to come up with something better than that.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, my word. By the way, I've been to Israel many times. Many of our listeners right now have been to Israel with me or with other groups. You've traveled to Israel, Fred. Ray's been many times. You can go and see the Valley of Armageddon.
Oh, yes. Megiddo.
Megiddo. You can see it. In fact, the best place to see it is atop the Mount Carmel site, which is also where it's recognized as the place where Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal, another Old Testament story. But Armageddon is mentioned in the Bible, still exists today.
Oh, yes.
The Valley of Megiddo, or otherwise known as the Valley of Armageddon. So the prophecies are about real places that still exist today. And I'm always amazed. Every few weeks or every month or so, they'll make an archaeological discovery in Israel or in Egypt or somewhere in the land of the Bible, right? Jordan, that only confirms biblical stories, Fred.
That is right. It's amazing. And I guess we shouldn't be amazed.
I know it is amazing, but we shouldn't be amazed.
We shouldn't be amazed by it, but it's always exciting when they find a coin with the image of a particular leader, whatever the case may be. And they say, and you know what? There was a leader by that name.
Mentioned in the Bible.
Mentioned in the Bible. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. All right. What's your favorite book on this subject, Ray, or is there one? You can think about that and answer later if you want to.
Well, one of my professors, in fact, he was the president of Dallas Seminary when I was there, I guess even 50 years ago, Dr. John Walvoord, a great man now in heaven, wrote a book on Israel and the nations in Bible prophecy, sort of a handbook on this very topic to say, where does the church fit in? Where do the nations fit in? And where does Israel fit in Bible prophecy? That's really reading that book and listening to Dr. Walvoord is where I got my basic understanding. And that book is available. It's around, and I'm just, Tim, talk a little bit. I'm going to have a more updated book to recommend here in just a moment.
Okay. And anything by David Jeremiah.
100%.
Yeah. Yes. All right, go ahead, Chris.
One of the things that's been around for a very long time has been oil and gas. And I bring this up because, as the Daily Caller has pointed out, the state of Oklahoma has decided it will no longer work with about a dozen financial firms after the state treasurer there and the governor and other elected officials determined that these financial firms, they're all big names, and they've been boycotting energy companies, specifically fossil fuel companies. And I've got some audio here of Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt talking to the Heritage Foundation. Governor Stitt said, look, we get a lot of energy from wind here. We have no problem with that. But we also need oil and gas, and so does the rest of the country. Clip 7.
If you want to have a reliable, affordable energy grid, you have to talk about oil and natural gas. And we're not afraid of talking about wind either. But let's have an honest conversation that we need oil and natural gas for national security purposes, for a reliable energy grid.
Texas has done something similar where they've kind of cut ties with big banks because they've been divesting from oil and gas. Oklahoma is the new one to join the list. But a big decision, and probably something that you're going to see other states announce they're looking at in these coming weeks.
Well, I really like what I've been reading about Governor Stitt, S-T-I-T-T. I think he's a rising star in the Republican Party in Oklahoma. They're the governor of Oklahoma.
Solid.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He also announced, and this is a related story to what Governor DeSantis just signed in Florida, the
ESG.
The ESG situation. You want to tell folks who don't know what that means? Folks, you're going to be hearing more and more about this in the news. What is this? What is this?
Well, in addition to brushing up on my carpenter's history, I've also learned that ESG means environmental social governance. Basically, it's things like, what are you doing to help the environment? What are you doing to be inclusive? And what are you doing to be more open?
It's all left-wing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's all left-wing. So they call it environmental social governance. ESG.
Yes.
And we've talked about this before. So what the left is trying to push in this country, folks, and the Democrat Party, they're trying to push this as a way to score companies. Okay. Much like you have a credit rating, the left wants to use their measuring stick for what is a good and a bad corporation. ESG, they use it. Well, red states in particular are pushing back on this. And in Oklahoma and now in Florida, they've actually passed legislation opposing this, Fred.
Yep.
And
rightly so. Look at what some other Democrat states are doing with regards to energy. California this week, we're going to ban gas-operated lawnmowers. How's that going to work out for you?
Not going to work at my house.
No.
Yours either, Fred? Ed?
Up in New York.
No.
New buildings coming up in the next few years being built. Mm. We're not going to allow any gas lines.
Right.
You know, this is the kind of nonsense that they're putting into legislation in these left-wing states. I mean, it's just, can you imagine you're going to go to people and say,
Because if we don't do it, the planet burns up.
Mm-hmm. That's what they say.
That's the E part of ESG.
Never mind what China or India are doing. Yeah. It matters if I mow my grass with gasoline-powered lawnmower. In these blue states, this is just a bunch of grandstanding.
Of course, it is.
Are they trying to use it to scare people or what?
Well, it's grandstanding because you want people to mow their lawns.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of places you get fined if you don't mow your lawn.
Yeah. Right.
So what are you going to do? All right, you're going to have electrical. Where is the electricity going to come from?
I can tell you, in the case of New York, the overwhelming majority of energy is supplied by natural gas. So you're taking out the gas hookup to replace it with an electric stove powered by natural gas.
Well, right. Well, what you're saying, Fred, is even if you use electricity, it has to be...
It has to be generated from something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's not enough solar panels and windmills to do what they say can be done.
Yeah. Also, I'm wondering, what are you going to do with these millions and millions of batteries over years?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
aren't they corrosive to the environment? Maybe they're making them safer now.
There is a company in they've got some properties out west, but there's a place in Nevada that just got a big chunk of money because of the Inflation Reduction Act, and I'm using air quotes, and they are...
Is Hunter Biden on their board?
Yes, yeah.
He knows so much.
They are in the process of taking the stuff we're throwing away and then recycling that
into
making more or new batteries.
Yeah.
So there is a somewhat market for that.
Yeah. All right, next story.
Well, I will mention this because people are starting to hit the road for various things, and certainly we got Memorial Day coming up. Speaking of energy, today's national average for a gallon of regular gasoline, $3.57. That's down from this time last week, but it's still more expensive than this time last month. The good news is we were paying a lot more on this day last year, $4.22, but it's still expensive, and if you're a diesel customer, bless your heart. Britton, I know what your struggle is like.
Mm-hmm. But gas prices, they went way up when Biden got into office.
Yes, and thankfully they have come down.
When they've come down.
But still a lot higher than when President Trump was in
office.
When he left.
Hey, Tim.
Yes.
Can I give my book recommendation? Charles Dyer wrote a book last year called What Does the Bible Say About the Future? 30 Questions on Bible Prophecy. That's from Moody Publishers up in Chicago, published last year. Charles Dyer, What Does the Bible Say About the Future? About half that book is about Israel in God's plan.
Highly recommend. How's his last name spelled?
D-Y-E-R. Charles Dyer.
Charles Dyer. Moody Press.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a short time out. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Steve Paisley Jordahl will be with us in a few minutes. Yes, he's rocking a Paisley shirt today.
Is he?
No doubt about it.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.